This Family Life News podcast is made possible by the support of listeners like you.
It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Chaos on campus. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast.
Palestine will live forever.
These are scary times for Jews on American college campuses.
This is the New York City.
Anti-Israeli protests are spreading in the Ivy League and beyond. Reporter Peter King starts us off in New Haven, Connecticut.
Pro-Palestinian demonstrators have set up camps at Yale, Columbia, MIT, and the Universities of Michigan and North Carolina.
There have also been demonstrations at Tufts, UC Berkeley, Emerson College, Rice University, and NYU. President Biden responding to the unrest this way.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
New York Congresswoman Claudia Tenney calls the president's rhetoric wishy-washy.
These are dangerous protests, and they put Jewish students at risk. And it's particularly bad when you consider that we started the Passover season yesterday, and this is a holy time for Jewish people. And I almost think it's deliberate.
Because of the unrest at Columbia, the school is going remote for the rest of the semester. Former Ivy League student Jeremy Hunt.
College students do crazy things. That is not what we're seeing here. What we're seeing here is far worse than that. They genuinely believe the nonsense that you've heard at these protests. So what's very concerning is that these folks are going to be using their Ivy League degrees to become leaders in academia, business, politics, and the rest of us, we need to do everything we can to make sure they never get anywhere close to power.
Columbia alum and New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft says he'll stop giving to the school because of the hatred being spewed at Jews.
I never thought I'd see what's going on in America, what's happening right now, and it really pains me to see it. We can't have this intimidation that's filtering through all these colleges, and the hate continue to grow and multiply the way it is.
Meantime, Pennsylvania's junior U.S. senator has strong words of condemnation for Columbia's president. Correspondent Todd Pyro continues our coverage.
Democrat Senator John Fetterman saying, quote, these protests are anti-Semitic, unconscionable, and dangerous. Add some tiki torches, and it's Charlottesville for these Jewish students. To Columbia President Manush Shafiq, do your job or resign so Columbia can find someone who will.
Pyro says the protests are being funded and fueled in part by outside agitators, some of whom have loyalty to the terror group Hamas. Speaking of Hamas, attempts continue to negotiate the release of hostages taken by them during the invasion of Israel October 7th. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller.
What you have seen over the past few weeks is Hamas move the goalposts. There are demands that they have made. Israel has moved some way to meeting those demands, and Hamas has then changed their demands.
At least a half dozen Americans are among the nearly 100 hostages still being held by Hamas. Iran proxies have resumed their attacks on U.S. military bases in the Middle East. After a three-month pause, at least five rockets were fired today on American targets in Syria and Iraq. The prosecution of former President Donald Trump continues inside a Manhattan courtroom. He's charged with falsifying business records to conceal an affair prior to the 2016 election. George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley.
This is an embarrassment. I mean, the fact that we are actually talking about this case being presented in a New York courtroom leaves me in utter disbelief.
Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg wants the judge in this case to hold Trump in contempt of court for violating a gag order. The ex-president says it's his constitutional right to condemn a trial that's keeping him in the courtroom and off the campaign trail. President Biden's in Florida today talking about so-called abortion rights. He'll deliver a speech this afternoon on reproductive freedom in Tampa. The stop comes ahead of the six-week abortion ban that takes effect in Florida May 1st. The U.S. Senate expected to vote today on war aid for Ukraine.
After months of gridlock and infighting, a plan to help Ukraine passed the U.S. House over the weekend, $60 billion plus in aid. Now the U.S. Senate takes it up beginning this afternoon and is expected to make very short work of it, likely within about 24 hours or so.
The measure also includes $26 billion for Israel and forces TikTok to divorce itself from China. The Center of Global Christianity has shifted.
Sociologist Dr. Gina Zerlo, who specializes in the study of religious demographics, says 44% of the world's Christians now reside in Africa. A century ago, 82% of believers lived in the global north. That's Europe, the U.S., and Canada. Today, 67% of them live in the global south, which includes Africa, Asia, and Latin America.
Michael Harrington with that report. And still to come on the Noon Report, the fight against blight. The Sabres bring back Ruff, and the vote is on in Pennsylvania.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams. Mild air is in play for now, but that's going to change with the arrival of a cold front that's ultimately going to bring us some showers. I'll have forecast details in 10.
All right, Kevin, look for you then. Let's check the stories making news all across New York and Pennsylvania. Elected leaders in New York are taking stock of the recently enacted $237 billion state budget. Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins says the spending plan
puts real resources into things that matter and makes a difference in people's lives.
Minority Leader Rob Ort complains the budget is chock full of misplaced priorities.
The more we try to use government to provide everything for people, the more they escape our grasp and go to other states where there's more freedom, where they keep more of their money, where they have better opportunities.
Western New York State Senator George Borrello doesn't like the billions being spent to accommodate migrants.
$2.4 billion for New York City's self-created migrant crisis is the first priority for elected Democrats in New York State.
The budget incentivizes new housing, cracks down on retail crime, and restores proposed cuts to education. This year's budget was 3 weeks late. The results are in from a new Siena College poll, and they are not good for New York Governor Kathy Hochul. Her 40% favorability rating and 45% job approval rating, the lowest since she took office in August of 2021. It's primary day in Pennsylvania, Republicans and Democrats nominating candidates for the general election in November.
The Department of State and your county election office have been working and preparing for this primary election for many months, and we are ready.
Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt.
Polls will be open until 8 p.m. If you are in line by 8 p.m., you can still vote. If you don't know your assigned polling place, you can find it at vote.pa.gov.
With its 19 electoral votes, Pennsylvania's the most delegate-rich of the half-dozen bellwether states in this year's presidential election. President Biden is coming to Syracuse, New York on Thursday to tour a future computer chip manufacturing site. He's there to announce a $6 billion federal grant to help get the Micron project off and running. That site is the size of 40 football fields and will employ some 50,000 people over the next two decades. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro is spotlighting the state's push to power its energy needs with solar panels.
This is a big deal.
He toured a solar farm in York County on Earth Day Monday.
It's going to mean more good-paying jobs for Pennsylvanians, more reliable, affordable electricity for the Commonwealth, and fewer carbon emissions that are contributing directly to climate change.
Critics say these massive solar panel projects are devastating the Commonwealth's farmland. The governor predicts half of the power used by government agencies will soon be solar generated. Elmira, New York has passed a new ordinance to hold landlords accountable for dilapidated property. Mayor Dan Mandel calls it the fight against blight. Those who do not keep their property up to code face fines of $250 a day. Democratic Councilman Gary Brin.
We know that some landlords and property managers create unsafe conditions to force out problem tenants. Don't do it. We are happy to work with landlords to address problem tenancy. If you contribute to homelessness, you will remain on this worst of the worst list for a year.
Bryn says the goal of fight against blight is to get zombie homes back on the market. Opponents say the law unfairly punishes good landlords who have bad tenants. Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson thinks some of the agitators behind the anti-Semitism that's spreading on American college campuses are outside groups trying to foment hate against the state of Israel.
It does smack of Nazism when the hatred that's spewed, and I think that's really sad on our college campuses.
The Republican representative tells Family Life News,
you know, the root cause of this is very obvious. It's self-evident going back to what it was, October 7th. It is Hamas.
Thompson says those funding and fueling these pro-Palestinian protests are trying to score political points in a high-stakes election.
There's somebody behind it that has significant funding, and it creates an evil energy.
Massive anti-Israeli rallies have erupted at more than a dozen colleges across the country the past few days. The murders of three men in just 26 hours in Rochester, New York, is getting the attention now of the city's mayor.
This is not normal. And I think sometimes people normalize homicides in urban environments. We should not do that.
Malik Evans says he is outraged by the rash of violence in the Flower City.
This is not the Rochester we want to be a part of. We don't want to be a Rochester where we have people dying senselessly. The good news is we can do something about it.
One of those three homicides is a taxi driver found shot to death while on duty. So far, no suspects in custody for any of these homicides. New York is adding nearly two dozen new offenses to the list of what constitutes a hate crime in the Empire State.
Officials say the modified Hate Crime Modernization Act was the first update to the Hate Crimes Act in 24 years, and reports of targeted attacks against marginalized groups have significantly increased since then. Gang activity, choking, and human trafficking were included in the final bill, but eight other offenses in the proposal, such as graffiti, were left out. The budget also includes a $10 million increase in funding for the Securing Communities Against Hate Crimes program. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Pennsylvanians can now apply to be chief ice cream officer with the American Dairy Association. Boy, that sounds like a job I'd love to have. The organization's looking for a person who will visit 20 local creameries across the Commonwealth during National Ice Cream Month in July. You also have to create social media content. The hiring team hopes the social media posts will encourage people to follow the ice cream road trip on Instagram or TikTok. That position pays $5,000, all travel-related expenses as well. You can find out more at the American Dairy Association website. You're tuned into the Noon Report, a Tuesday edition on Family Life. To sports we go next. The Buffalo Sabres bringing back a name from their past to help lead the NHL franchise into the future. Lindy Ruff returning for a second stint behind the bench in Buffalo. He was the head coach for the Sabres from 1997 till 2013. Ruff replacing Don Granato, who was relieved of his duties last week after the Sabres missed the playoffs for a 13th straight season. Ruff currently the fifth winningest coach in NHL history. He led the Sabres to the Stanley Cup Finals in 99. In the NHL playoffs last night, the Carolina Hurricanes came back against the New York Islanders. 5-3 your final in Raleigh. They take a 2-0 series lead. The Boston Bruins fell to the Toronto Maple Leafs 3-2. That series knotted up at a game apiece out west. The defending champion Golden Knights edging the Dallas Stars 4-3. They're up 1-0 in that one. The Edmonton Oilers started their cup run on the right skate. A 7-4 clubbing of the LA Kings. In the NBA playoffs last night, a trio of games. The Cleveland Cavaliers picking up a 10-point win over the Orlando Magic. They're up 2-0 in that series. At Madison Square Garden, the Knicks picked up a thrilling 3-point victory over the 76ers. The Knickerbockers up 2-0 in that best-of-seven series. And in Denver, the reigning champion Nuggets take down the Lakers 101-99. Jamal Murray knocking down a game-winning fadeaway at the buzzer. Denver up 2-0. Baseball action yesterday. The Oakland A's beat the New York Yankees 2-0 at the stadium. Aaron Boone got the old hee-ho after the umpire mistook him for a rowdy fan. The Pirates and Phillies both won. The Mets fall to the Giants. At the Family Life Sports Desk, I'm Bob Price. And still to come on the Noon Report, all aboard the bullet train. A hometown hero with a heart for Ukraine and Biden's Charlottesville moment.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Earlier this month, the Vatican released a Declaration on Human Dignity under the title Infinite Dignity. The document offered significant clarity about important cultural issues, especially given the series of confusing claims by Pope Francis. For example, last December, the Pope announced that priests could bless same-sex couples. And though his statement specified that priests were not to perform such blessings during Mass and were only blessing individuals and not sanctioning the relationships as morally acceptable, progressive Catholics and many observers saw the statement as a step toward acceptance of so-called same-sex marriage within the Roman Catholic Church. In contrast, this latest declaration from the Vatican leaves no such ambiguity, especially about issues related to sexuality and gender. Specifically, the document connects these issues to the notion of human dignity and then clarifies what dignity entails. The declaration plainly states that dignity is rooted in the love of the Creator, who's permanently marked each person with his image. As such, our dignity is, quote, neither claimed nor deserved, nor can it be taken away. The document also reminds readers that humans possess dignity not only in respect to their souls and minds, but also in their very bodies. Human persons, made in the image of God, are created a unity of body and soul, physical and spiritual. Thus, humans reflect God's image in our bodies, and therefore, quote, dignity is also inherent in each person's body, end quote. Now, the dignity of the human person, body and soul, is revealed above all, according to the document, in the incarnation of Christ, who took on our humanity and thus, quote, confirmed the dignity of body and soul. Christ's incarnation, his death, and his resurrection reveal to us that our dignity lies not only in how humans are initially created, but also in our final purpose, our telos, to dwell in unhindered communion with God forever. Now, the Vatican statement also rightly acknowledges that LGBT-identifying individuals possess inviolable dignity by virtue of their creation. However, it also notes that this dignity is undermined whenever humans ignore the meaning of biological sex or sexual difference, and thus their bodies. Gender theory is, the statement clarifies, not only about the promotion of transgender ideology or so-called gender transition intervention. Gender theory is related to all attempts to suppress the meaning of sexual difference, and in this sense would include things like homosexuality and hookup culture and the pill. In fact, gender theory undermines human dignity precisely because it seeks to deny or eliminate what the document calls, and I quote, the greatest possible difference that exists between living beings, sexual difference. Now, even for those who are not Roman Catholic, it's a clear statement. It's sound and it's helpful. Neither the body nor sexual difference can be separated from our dignity as image bearers. Rather, and I quote, only by acknowledging and accepting sexual difference can each person fully discover themselves, their dignity, and their identity. And it's for this reason that all attempts to obscure sexual difference between men and women are to be rejected. And another helpful resource about defining the human person and clarifying what human dignity entails is the Identity Project. It's a comprehensive library of on-demand videos and learning resources about all the prevalent issues having to do with sexuality, identity, marriage, family, and the image of God. Visit identityproject.tv for a free trial. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Jared Hayden. For more resources to live like a Christian today, go to breakpoint.org.
Thanks, John. Outside next, Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Sunshine fading. A few showers will reach parts of western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. Noticeably milder than yesterday. Breezy high temps, many areas into the 60s. Numerous showers tonight. Low temps, mid-30s to mid-40s. Much chillier tomorrow. Showers, some wet snowflakes mixing in the higher elevations of western and central New York as temperatures drop, spending the afternoon in the 30s and 40s. And mostly sunny cool on Thursday with high temps back up into the upper 40s to the upper 50s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. This is the Noon Report. I'm Bob Price. Here's what's happening Tuesday, the 23rd of April. Mass arrests are happening at multiple colleges as pro-Palestinian protesters make Jewish students feel unsafe. Scott Galloway is a professor at New York University.
I've absolutely never seen anything like it. It's rattling to Jews across the nation.
Correspondent Ashley Strohmeyer has more from New Haven, Connecticut.
Police report reportedly arrested nearly 50 people at Yale University after they refused to clear out an encampment there. A Jewish student claims she was stabbed in the eye with a Palestinian flag.
To de-escalate the violence, Columbia University has switched to remote learning for the rest of the semester. Andrew Stein is a student there and was chased off campus by a pro-Palestinian mob.
They started saying in Arabic, Hamas, Hamas, our beloved, please bomb Tel Aviv.
New York Congresswoman Claudia Tenney calls the anti-Israeli protests President Biden's Charlottesville moment.
This ceasefire, anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic movement is largely because of one district in Michigan, which could cost him the entire election. It's pure politics. It's diabolical that this president can't stand up and support Israel, support our Jewish students. This is a moral clarity moment for Joe Biden. He has failed.
The president says he condemns anti-Semitic protests, but also condemns those who do not understand what is going on with the Palestinians. A hearing today at the historic hush money trial of former President Trump. Prosecutors say he repeatedly violated a court-imposed gag order. Trump says the gag order, which prevents him from talking too much about the trial, violates his constitutional rights. Legal analyst Laura Jarrett.
This issue over what the former president can say and cannot say about this case almost turning into a trial within the actual trial.
Trump's accused of falsifying business records to conceal an affair in the run-up to the 2016 election.
This is a show trial. President Trump did absolutely nothing wrong, and we firmly believe that the evidence is going to bear that out in court in the coming week.
Trump attorney Will Scharf, the trial expected to last about 6 weeks. The U.S. Senate takes up war aid for Ukraine and Israel today.
It is expected to pass as early as today, and by the latest tomorrow, the bulk of the $95 billion package is more than $60 billion in desperately needed weaponry for Ukraine. It also allocates $26 billion in military aid for Israel. It has gotten bipartisan support because it includes GOP priorities, including a potential ban of TikTok if its Chinese owner doesn't sell its stake within a year.
Correspondent Ryan Nobles, a proposed gun law in Tennessee has people on both sides of the debate fired up and speaking out. Mark Strassman in Nashville has more on a controversial plan to arm teachers.
Tennessee high schoolers again skipped school to protest, taking aim at a proposed gun law that they say takes aim at them. It would allow teachers to carry guns in the classroom.
The future of our state is at stake.
They have the voices, but they don't have the votes. Earlier this month, Tennessee State Senate approved a bill allowing teachers and school staff to carry concealed handguns. To supporters, it's a deterrent.
We are not trying to shoot a student, but protect a student from an active shooter.
But opponents say not this law.
We're putting a job on the teacher that they should never have.
The proposed gun law is in response to last year's shooting at a Christian school in Nashville that left six dead. The city of Baltimore is suing the owner of that cargo ship that rammed a bridge last month, causing its collapse and the deaths of six people. City Councilman Zeke Cohen.
This is about Baltimore uniting together, standing strong amidst this tragedy, and making sure that people are held accountable that played a role in it.
The suit claims negligence, arguing the ship left port on March 26 with known power issues. A bullet train from Las Vegas to Los Angeles is a step closer to reality. Reporter Rick Montanez.
Pricing for tickets will vary much like they do for flights. There will be peak and off-peak pricing. If all goes according to plan, Brightline West will be able to say all aboard by summer 2028 in time for the Olympics in LA.
That $12 billion train will reach speeds in excess of 186 miles an hour. Well, they don't sting, bite, make you itch, or suck your blood, but they sure are loud. The cicadas are coming.
They're not going to attack you. They are
just out above ground for a really short time to try and reproduce.
Dr. Bruce Snyder, Associate Professor of Biological and Environmental Sciences, says once the soil warms to a certain temperature, the Great Southern Brood 19 will emerge and be around for about a month.
So the Great Southern Brood has the largest geographic extent. It goes all the way from Virginia and possibly into Maryland, and it goes all throughout the South into the Midwest over towards Missouri.
He says the 13-year Southern Brood coincides with the appearance of the 17-year Northern Illinois Brood 13, which only happens every 221 years. They're clumsy when they fly and group together in trees. Snyder says not to worry if your pets eat one or even a few. It should not harm them. I'm Rebecca Hughes.
You're listening to the Noon Report for Tuesday on Family Life.
Welcome back to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm Mark Webster. This week's guest is Jeff Sigworth of Pennsylvania, who recently began another visit to war-torn Ukraine with A18 Missions, linking up with another PA missionary to Ukraine, Todd Gallagher. They're serving in a couple of different locations.
Doing some small stuff there around the city of Odessa, and then we're going to do a big, bigger mission to the city of Kherson, down more near the front line, across the river from the Russian forces. Be doing some humanitarian aid work and delivering food and stuff and bringing the message, and then rebuilding some houses, putting some roofs on some homes.
How safe is it right now?
It's about as safe as a war zone can be. Everything west of the Dnieper River is relatively safe. It's everything in the east that's seeing a lot more of the heavier fighting that has been taking place, and it's been getting a lot worse further in the east. The west is still seeing some missiles and stuff, but it's not really as bad as outlying media companies play it off to be. I've spoken with the missionary over there. The air defense grid that Ukraine has been fairly successful in protecting its civilian population.
Still certainly an element of danger. So what motivates you to brave that and go back there?
God's calling me back. When I went over last time, it was something that God had called my heart to do. I went back, of course, we spoke there in August, or just after I'd come back from the mission in August. It was definitely placed on my heart that doing mission work, whether it was in Romania or Ukraine or Dominican Republic, God has been calling me into the mission field for sure. Todd, the head of the organization that I'm going to stay with, he's been laid up with some medical stuff that they've had to have taken care of. Kind of needs help catching up on everything. So that's the plan. That's, we're going to go get caught up on the work that needs done and bring the message of Jesus and the hope of his resurrection back to the people in Ukraine. We're trying to start a flag football organization in Ukraine for the kids through the youth ministry that Todd does and A18 Missions does. So we're going to be doing a little bit of flag football, teaching the kids a little bit about American football.
Having some sort of distraction or something fun to do like flag football probably would take on some added significance, I would think.
Oh, it does. The kids, due to the air raid alerts, a lot of times you have to evacuate the buildings and they have to leave the schools or they have to go in their bomb shelters and stuff like that. That brings a lot of anxiety to the kids. So being able to get out and play flag football is definitely something they enjoy doing. And then we also work with them in their youth ministry stuff at the church. Thursday and Sunday, they put together a youth time at church, and we work with the kids there too. So it definitely helps alleviate the stress of everything that's been going on.
And certainly along those same lines, and we spoke about this in a previous interview, how the stressful war environment impacts faith, if anything. Perhaps it makes people, including youth, more receptive?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the biggest things that Todd's been seeing is the absolute growth in the church system. And even when I was over there, we saw kids passionately coming to church to spend time learning about Jesus and what's going on and the salvation that he can provide them and the hope that he can provide them because of the devastation of the war around them. Everybody at this point has either been impacted directly by the war in one way, shape, or another. So for them to be able to come to church and learn about Jesus and know that their salvation rests with him and that their peace is with him, we're just seeing this magnitude of growth in the church that is just, it's astounding. It's something that they've not seen before because they've not been in this situation before.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this. Somebody who's so intimately acquainted with day-to-day Ukrainian life in this situation and this war that's dragged on for two
2 years now. What's your take, or what's the sense on the ground there of how it's
going to
end?
There's still a lot of up in the air about how it's going to end. There's a lot of communication out there that's being spoken of a temporary armistice similar to what's North Korea, South Korea has going on there with NATO and allied troops defending what would be considered free Ukraine and then the Russian forces occupied Ukraine territory. Is that the truth? I don't know. Nobody really knows. Ultimately, God is still in control. Whatever plan he has laid out for the Ukrainian people and the rest of the world is going to be what he brings into fruition. We hope that there would be a complete reestablishment of Ukrainian presence in all of their territories, but do we know what the future lies? Only God does. How this ends, it's really in God's hands, where nobody's really quite sure what the future looks like. There are still good things going on in Ukraine, and the mission for the Christian faith, the people who are coming to Jesus, is just on fire in that country.
That's Pennsylvania's Jeff Sigworth, who along with fellow PA missionary Todd Gallagher is currently serving people in war-torn Ukraine with A18 missions. Please join us again next time as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
Thank you very much, Mark Webster. Hometown Heroes comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report or online anytime at familylife.org. Just look for the news tab on the podcast page.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We're watching a cold front coming in from the west. It stretches from north of Lake Superior to Missouri. It will propel milder air on gusty breezes this afternoon, but ultimately produce showers as it arrives by tonight. Much chillier weather follows tomorrow. For this afternoon, sunshine fading. A few showers will reach parts of western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. Noticeably milder than yesterday, breezy high temps, many areas into the 60s. Numerous showers tonight, low temps mid-30s to mid-40s, much chillier tomorrow. Showers, some wet snowflakes mixing in the higher elevations of western and central New York as temperatures drop, spending the afternoon in the 30s and 40s. And mostly sunny cool on Thursday with high temps back up into the upper 40s to the upper 50s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. And finally at noon today, calling all Wookiee rookies. Family Life's Brian Querry says there's a job opportunity for you.
We're coming up soon on the 25th anniversary of the release of Star Wars Episode 1. In celebration of that and Star Wars Day on May the 4th, financial website Finance Buzz is looking to recruit someone who has never seen Star Wars, what they're calling a Wookiee rookie, to watch all 9 of the movies in chronological order. The selected individual must be someone who is a first-timer to the Force, a true young Jedi, and that person will rate and evaluate the saga from an outsider's perspective. In exchange for the 25 hours and 7 minutes of watching all 9 movies, the selected individual will receive $1,000 for their efforts, plus $100 to cover the costs of streaming, snacks, or a lightsaber. You can apply through May the 4th on the Finance Buzz website, and hopefully you'll be picked to be the Obi-Wan they're looking for. Brian Querry, Family Life News.
I was going to say May the 4th be with you, Brian, but I'm getting ahead of myself. That's the world we live in. For Tuesday, April the 23rd. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this Family Life News podcast. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, please share it with others and click the subscribe button to automatically receive future episodes. Family Life is a listener-supported ministry. Podcasts like this are made possible by your financial partnership. Find out more at familylife.org.